Hey guys, welcome to the Layup Lines podcast. I'm your host, Seth Horton, joined as always by Mr. Chapman.
Ayo.
And, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and jump into this. The recipient of this week's Weekly Grit Award, Woody Cameron
right.
Woodard.
It's Cameron Woodard.
Did you almost call him Woody the Cameron Woodard?
I like it.
I got close there. Woody received the concussion as a little present last week, playing flag football.
Hit my head right on the ground, sort of the back of the head, too, so it was kind of forceful there. And I mean, I blacked out for a couple seconds, woke up, didn't remember where I was for a couple seconds, but other than that, you know, I'm still on the grind, you know.
But perseverance. You know what? You trudged into the office today, and you were ready to record a podcast with the Layup Lines guys.
My hot takes are going to be a little skewed, maybe, because of the concussion, but...
When I got a concussion last year, you made fun of me.
Yeah.
Relentlessly.
You got concussed by an 8-year-old with a pool noodle, and you
right.
missed the podcast.
It was a 10-year-old, and there was also a PVC pipe involved. The man was a slugger,
by the way. He makes it better.
And you missed
the
podcast.
He was 10 years old, okay?
The missing the podcast thing is fair. That's a legitimate discrepancy between my situation and Woody's.
A very buff 10-year-old.
I mean,
okay.
He is. He hit like 60 homers last year in Little League, I'm telling you.
I despise you. But not as much as I despise the Georgia Bulldogs, who lost by 20 points to the LSU Tigers.
Georgia did not play well. No. However, I think it was more of a case of LSU, first of all, was the more experienced team. They had played Auburn and Miami, who were both top 10 teams at the time. I think that was honestly just more of a LSU was more experienced. They were at home. It was the midday CBS game. I mean, the emotions were high.
But still, losing by 20.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
You were ranked number 2 in the nation. Like, granted, LSU is a very good team. I'm not saying that they're not. But, like, losing by 20 is just kind of inexcusable.
You're correct.
Turnovers killed Georgia, too.
So. Yeah. Yeah, Jake Fromm threw 2 interceptions with 1 TD. He barely threw over 500. He went 16 for 34.
Barely threw over 500. Oh, over 50%.
Yes.
I heard barely over 500, like, and then inserted yards in my head. And I was just all kinds of confused and wondering how in the world Georgia lost.
Well, Chat, that's because you're just a dafty boy.
Unless you didn't turn the ball over at all, which.
Correct.
You turned the ball over 4 times.
LSU has done a great job this year of
their defense
keeping possession and then forcing turnovers on the other end. I think Florida's first in the conference in turnover margin, and I think LSU's right behind them at number 2.
And they scored 36 points without Joe Burrow throwing a single touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating. But
their O-line is great. Their running game is great because of that.
You know whose O-line is complete and utter garbage?
Auburn's.
And speaking of Auburn, we got to give a game ball here to Tennessee, the Tennessee Volunteers, who won a game in the SEC.
All right. This is the most painful thing I've ever had to do on this show, guys, but I'm issuing a formal apology to the Tennessee Volunteers. I said they would go 0-8 at the beginning of the season, and I think I actually said none of the games would even be close in SEC play, that is. 0-8 in SEC play. I was wrong. You're going 1-7, and only one of the games will have been close. I apologize.
There you go, bud. There you go. And while we're apologizing, I feel convicted to apologize to the University of Texas football program.
We're both apologizing to UTs right now.
Yeah. I have to apologize to Texas football program because they're back. I was incorrect on the very first episode. I always doubt Texas.
I think it's reasonable over the last 3, 4, or 5 years to have doubted Texas. But I mean, I watched them play a few weeks back, and it was one of those things where there wasn't something that necessarily stood out. They just played hard, and things like clicked. Their offense, they were like 50-50 run pass on a lot of their possessions, and it worked really well.
Right.
And, dude, I'm on board. If Texas can play well and win, I mean, I'm on the Texas train right now.
Absolutely. And
it's risky a little bit, but I'm on the Texas train.
It's absolutely a high risk, high
they
reward.
They don't have the best players in that conference. Mm-mm. I think Oklahoma and West Virginia are both more talented, but that's the best team in the Big 12 right now, in my opinion.
Right.
And if they went out and one of these four teams that are ahead of them are in the top four right now, if one of them drops a game, I think they have a very good case for a playoff bid.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, Chap, it's time to go to the Supreme Court. Oh, here on layup lines. This is the Supreme Court because this has to be the last time we talk about this.
Jimmy
Butler. In a courtroom context. It has to be the last time, right?
Right.
Okay. Jimmy Butler. Was it, Wednesday, Thursday?
Wednesday, I believe. Yeah.
Wednesday of last week. Goes into the Timberwolves practice after having taken a hiatus from the team for quite a while, and he takes the third stringers.
Him and the third stringers are playing together against.
Yeah, he subs in for the third
starters
stringers.
minus him.
Yeah, he walks in and just obliterates the starting lineup minus Jimmy Butler, and it is all kinds of glorious and heated and angry.
Dude, I like it. I like what Jimmy Butler's doing a little bit, and while it's kind of temper tantrum-y on some level, it's sort of a, I wonder, you know how you like those players that are like, give me the ball, I'm going to shoot it, I don't care what you think, I don't care what the game plan is or how good you are, I'm the best. So I'm thinking of like Michael Jordan, Larry Bird.
Kobe.
Yeah.
You have guys that are sometimes radically inefficient, but like if Jimmy Butler's like, listen, I'm a beast and I want to play like a beast, I just took our scrubs and beat you guys. What does that say? I love that for some reason. I just feel like the being in practice and like watching that happen was probably incredible to watch. Imagine being the water boy and you're watching Jimmy Butler just go to town on the starters. That's relatively exciting, I think.
I think it also speaks to, though, two of the three best players on the team just are not willing to work and obviously have not improved in the offseason, at least from this little snippet.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kat and Wiggins absolutely have to pick it up, and I think those are the reasons why. I don't think it has anything to do with Tibbs. I think Kat and Wiggins are the reasons why Jimmy Butler wants out and will likely get out.
Yeah, Tibbs loves this. You know Tibbs loves this.
Right.
Because, let's be honest, Tibbs is on the hot seat and kind of, sort of, should absolutely be on the hot seat. But the thing is, Jimmy Butler, he's a guy who wants to win. He likes to win. And I think, most importantly, he wants to play with guys who are going to work as hard as he does, or at least close to it. And Andrew Wiggins and Kat, they just don't at all.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem, I think. And they tried to nurture them into working harder. Like, they tried to say, hey, it would be great if you could just work a little bit more on defense, try to figure it out.
And that just absolutely did not work.
Yeah, it absolutely didn't work. So now he's coming in and he's berating them. And sometimes that's what you got to do. Yeah. You have to toughen them up. And you have, like, look at KG. This is literally what KG would do all the time. I mean, not to this extreme, but he went 100% in practice every time, trash talked everyone.
Absolutely.
And that's just what you got to do sometimes to get people to actually put their best foot forward. Yeah.
And to be fair with Tibbs, I think the coddling nature comes from his old team, the Bulls, was full of guys who would work hard because they cared about the sport. Mm-hmm. And so all he needed to do was give them a little push. He didn't have to be on their tails all the time telling them to work hard.
Yeah, Taj Gibson, a workhorse. Derrick Rose
has to
be a workhorse right now. Joakim Noah was a workhorse.
Jimmy Butler is a workhorse.
Yeah.
All of those guys.
Yeah, they're gritty guys who belong in a, you know, past era of basketball, right, to be honest. But, I mean, except for Jimmy Butler. But they work.
Right.
Their hardest. And that's really great. So I think we're all in agreement here. Jimmy Butler is innocent.
Yeah.
I think so. Because on some level, I mean, you're looking at a player as a coach, and you're saying, okay, I want to get this many wins, or I want to be this successful. Are you going to pick the guy that's really talented, doesn't really give a rip, and is in it for a lot of like a money? He's going to settle. He's going to get like players that become washed after a while, so to speak, mm-hmm. are players that kind of give up on trying after a while. Jimmy Butler is like, I don't care what my stats said in the last 3 years. I just took the bench and I beat the starters. So what I'm saying is I want there to be a different attitude on this team. Like, as a coach, why would you not want that? I mean, the reason we love Michael Jordan is because Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face. I mean, he took everything seriously. Like, he was hard-nosed. And I think on some level we're drawn to players like that. So when Jimmy Butler comes out and says, I regret nothing at all about this whole situation, you want to boo me when I get back? Like, go for it. Bring it on. I love that mentality.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And that's a great point about the players who are washed right now. I think the two players who were great at one point who we consider the most washed, I think Dwight Howard is debatable, but it's Dwight Howard and
we've been debating about
Carmelo
this.
Anthony.
We and have been debating about Dwight
he
Howard
had 4 years,
like,
man.
Intensely. Yeah.
I can't
Orlando
talk to
Dwight.
Seth about Dwight Howard. That we'll move on from that. But
I mean,
those
I
are
just,
the two guys who are perceived to be the two most washed guys in the league. And those are two guys who never put in the work over the course of their careers.
Yeah.
You can't work yeah. means being willing to take less minutes as like a role player to earn your spot. I mean, we saw that with a lot of different six mans over the league. And you look at somebody like Melo's best bet right now is come off the bench. Lead your bench players, play well. That's his best bet. That way you can ISO against, you know, like if he was on the like back on the Thunder, like play with Raymond Felton, man. Play with that guy. stop trying to be the wingman for Russell Westbrook. It's not going to work. The guy's radically inefficient. So
yeah,
on some level, Jimmy Butler, I think, is he's innocent here. I like it. I like what he's doing.
So we got innocent. All right, meeting adjourned.
In a 3-0 decision.
Easy. Jimmy Buckets is henceforth innocent in anything dealing with the Timberwolves situation. All right. Now, we're recording this on Tuesday at 3:30 in the afternoon before any NBA has been played. The NBA season starts tonight.
4 hours, man. I'm so excited.
Dude, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. We're having a viewing party, and that's going to be great. But before anything starts, I want us to go over projected win totals for each team. Over-unders. You ready?
I'm ready for this. Let's do it.
All right. Atlanta Hawks, 26.5.
Under.
Absolutely. I could not go more under on this team.
I think somewhere between 15 and 20.
I don't – like, I could realistically see the Atlanta Hawks winning single digits.
Single digits? I think they'll put up more than single digits.
I mean,
if
probably.
If Trae Young is shooting – or they just – I think they should trade for –
Luka Doncic.
Yes. Like, they just need, they just need something. They need trade. Substance. They have no substance right now from a talent perspective. It's just –
yeah.
It's really disappointing.
All right. Boston Celtics, 58.5.
Ooh.
I'm going over. That's a reluctant over, and it's an over that is dependent on the starting five not missing more than 35 games combined.
I'll say – I'll agree in the sense that it's a reluctant over if they stay healthy. I'm still not on board with Tatum yet fully, okay? I need to see a little bit more, just a little bit more in the regular season, a little
Fair
bit more
enough.
When it counts, okay? I need to see a little bit more overall from him, from a shooting perspective, from a passing perspective.
That's
but great. I'm going to go over.
Okay, I'm going over, and I'm not very reluctant about it. they won 55 games last season. They're returning Gordon Hayward, who, if he's even 70% of the player that he was 2 years ago, that adds two wins to the team, I think.
Yeah.
Plus Kyrie,
absolutely.
Who looked amazing in the preseason.
He did. Yeah. He
I accidentally really bought League Pass again this year, so there we go.
And then, in addition to that, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown both developing another year.
Yeah.
And they're developing players. What makes
and
them,
Terry Rozier.
And Terry Rozier, was it him that said that he wasn't thinking about re-signing? That was a rumor floating around on the blog.
He's not re-signing right now. He might sign with the team next year.
If he re-signs, that's huge.
The thing is, he, I think, wants to re-sign, but the issue is with cap space. He's not going to take less than what he thinks he's worth, which is fair.
And
absolutely.
And but he also knows he's not a starter.
And I agree with that. Celtics. But here's something I was thinking about the other day. I'm sitting here. I'm watching ESPN, SportsCenter, everyone talking about the NBA. Everyone's getting really excited about it. And then you have the joke. The Warriors are just kind of sitting back going, oh, okay. Okay, do what you got to do. And I think that's because you have players on a team like the Warriors, a dynasty that's being built, that are going, I'm willing to take less shots. Yeah. I'm willing to take less money. If Boston can do that, if everyone can realize, okay, we got to do this. We have these young guys. We have this talent. We have the best coach in the league in Brad Stevens. Like, we have that, okay? And if we want to argue about that later, I'll argue that all day long. But
I think we're all in agreement on that one.
He runs inbound plays. So I think he's just different than everybody else at this point. I think if you can foster up these guys more, like you can teach them, mold them. I mean, I think you're talking about a team that could be good over the next, really good over the next 5-6 years.
Yeah. All right, we got the Brooklyn Nets at 29.5 wins.
Under.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say under on the Nets, man.
I originally put a soft under, and I'm very tempted to go with a soft over because they did win 28 games last season.
I don't see them doing any better.
But Damari Carroll's body is even more dead than it used to be.
That's true.
This is so true.
All right, yeah, I'm going to go with a soft under on them. I think probably, what, 26, 27 games?
Yeah, that's fair.
25.
Yeah.
All right, Charlotte Hornets at 35.5. They won 36 last season.
This is one of the tougher ones for me because they lost Dwight Howard in free agency. Mm-hmm. However, they got Miles Bridges in the draft, who I think was probably the steal of the draft, in addition to guys like Malik Monk and players they've drafted in the last few years developing. So I'm going with the softest over of all 30 of the teams.
I can't believe how much Chap and I are in agreement right now, but I'm going over as well. I'm a Kemba Walker fan.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is what I'm thinking. Are they going to trade Kemba Walker?
Yeah, if they trade Kemba Walker, throw my over out to the rats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
that would be
we're not changing. Like, we're keeping it, man. Your overs, you're over. Your unders, you're under.
That's fair.
So
I'm going to just say they don't trade Kemba Walker and they go over.
I don't think the Hornets are smart enough to trade Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
So
I don't think they're smart enough.
Would you trade Kemba Walker?
They need to. Like, he doesn't fit their timeline, and they won't be able to rebuild, maybe. They can get a good high draft pick out of him. Like, what are they going to do with Kemba? Miss the playoffs.
That's a fair point. Because he's such a talent, but
he's
proven you can't build around him, right? You just can't build around him, I don't think. Which is, I think that's a fair point.
Chicago Bulls, 28.5.
I'll go over.
I'm going over.
The addition of Jabari Parker.
Of Jabari Parker and a healthy Zach LaVine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Healthy Zach. If Zach LaVine stays healthy and plays the way we want him to play, we all want him to play. I'll say over, but right now I'm going to go under.
All right, that's fair. Cavs, 30.5.
Definitely over. Kevin Love is going to ball out without LeBron.
You think he's going to ball out?
Absolutely.
I want him to. Don't get me wrong. I want Kevin Love to ball out. I do not think he will. I'm going to go under.
All right. I'm going over, man. I think Kevin Love is going to ball out, and I love Colin Sexton. So, yeah.
I think Colin Sexton won't necessarily put up the numbers that Doncic does or someone like that, but I think just his grit and his will to win will push the Cavs over the edge in some of these close games.
The grit on that boy. All right, Detroit Pistons, 40.5.
Soft under?
I'm going to have to go under.
I'm going with a healthy under.
Yeah, I just don't buy the Pistons being consistent really in any terms.
Yeah.
I think what I'm most excited to see this season is Andre Drummond with a green light from three. We'll see how that goes.
If Andre Drummond hits more than one three-pointer this season, I will do something absolutely ridiculous.
All right. Pacers, 46.5.
I'll give them 48.
Yeah, they won 48 last year, and I think they got better.
Yeah.
So
big Oladipo fan. So.
Yeah, 48.5.
They have guys to work around.
I think the East around them got a little bit better, too. But
yeah.
I think so.
I think the better teams got better. I think the teams that were already bad just got worse.
I think they're going to play better together this season. I think they'll flow a little bit better this season.
All right, Miami Heat 41.5.
This is all just dependent on the if they get Jimmy Butler. If they get Butler, I think they win 46 games. If they don't get Butler, I think they win 36 games.
Do you think they get Jimmy Butler?
Probably not, so I'm going to go under.
All right.
I'm going to go under as well. I don't think they're
going
to get him.
I'm going under too, and I hate it. I almost want to push. I almost want to give it a push, but
how
I'm going to go under.
You do a push with 41.5.
Fair. All right, whatever. They'll win 41. Whatever. Milwaukee Bucks, 46.5.
That's really tough for me because I just don't think the players they have around Giannis fit Giannis's talents very well.
Exactly.
However, Giannis is maybe the most talented player in the league.
He's a freak, but I am totally on board with you. I'm agreeing with you a lot today, but I'm totally on board with you. I just don't know if they have the right people around him because he's naturally going to cause so many problems very quickly. So him going into the paint happens so fast that unless
it's one step.
Yeah, it's literally a dribble from the three-point line. To
exactly. Unless you have people that are ready to shoot the three ball, but are ready to also, like, you have to have some motion offense too if you have a guy like that. You have to keep things moving the whole time.
You can't just have guys like Malcolm Brogdon and Chris Middleton who just stand in the corner on offense.
They have to be moving. There has to be every time I watch them, they just stood around and waited for Giannis to do something.
Yeah.
So over or under?
Slight under.
I'll go over. I'm optimistic.
I'm going over. I think they're a 50-win team because of Coach Bud.
Wow.
In the East, especially. Yeah. Coach Bud took a raggedy Atlanta Hawks team to 60 wins. So,
they had five pretty good players who were all at the prime of their career at the exact same time.
Yeah.
The timeline just worked out very well.
The year before he got there, they weren't great. He took like a mid-40s win team and got them to 60.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm banking on him doing with the Bucks here. New York Knicks, 31.5.
I'm going to go under just because Kristaps isn't going to be back till January or February.
Heavy under. I'm not on the Porzingis train. I can't get on it. You can't get me on it. I refuse to get on it. I don't see it. I don't understand. Great player, but not a player you want to build around. I would not build around him.
Yeah, his winnability is extremely low because he has to play ISO ball to be successful.
Has to.
And ISO ball just isn't efficient in the NBA.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to be a better passer than he is. Orlando Magic, 30.5.
I don't see why their over-under is as high as it is. Just surprised, yeah.
Yeah, they won 25 last season, and I don't think that they got better at all.
Yeah, I guess they're counting under on, like, progression of players.
Yeah, so I under. Think they're all under.
This good for
the
rest of
they did
ever.
Drop Alfred Payton, so that makes them a little bit better.
Yeah. But. All right, Philadelphia 76ers for 54.5.
Ooh.
54.5, the Philadelphia 76ers.
I'm going to go slight over. I think they can win 56, 57.
Okay.
I'm going to go slight under.
I'm right there with you.
Because here's my problem. You have to develop a connection between Simmons and Embiid. Embiid has to play really well, and Ben Simmons has to be able to shoot a jump shot in the next decade, or else I'm not on board with that yet.
Yeah, Ben Simmons still can't shoot. Markel Fultz still can't shoot. They lost their second and third best shooters off the bench.
How many games did they win last year, Seth?
They won 52. So they're saying they're 2.5 wins better.
I think Embiid's already hit his ceiling.
Really?
Embiid. I think he's pretty much already hit his ceiling, other than like maybe he can get in better shape. I just don't know if he will or not.
Yeah. I think all three of them progress about one win apiece.
I agree.
And so that
I will put
them over slightly.
But I still think what Embiid's problem is right now is his confidence is up. He's feeling pretty good about himself. And to me, he hasn't been good enough for long enough yet to talk the way he does. And I think he's going to get knocked down by guys that are more consistent than him.
That's fair.
Raptors, 54.5.
It'll take him a minute to gel, I think. New head coach obviously traded their best player and got a new best player. Even if Kawhi's better than DeMar DeRozan, I think I think it'll just take them the first couple of months of the season to actually start playing as a team. So I'll go under.
Woody?
I'm going to go over because I think I think what Kawhi Leonard can do to a team is something that not a lot of other players can. You have an elite defensive and offensive player. I do not think DeMar DeRozan was that. Now,
he was definitely not an elite defensive player by any stretch of the imagination.
And Kawhi Leonard was able, is going to be able to provide both those aspects, which I thought the Raptors were always lacking. Mm-hmm. And so you add that. I think I could see them pulling out a few more.
I'm going to go with a slight over. I think they could win 56-57 because I think Kawhi brings a lot to a team, and by the time he does get back in, they're going to rip through the Eastern Conference pretty good.
And I think they will beat the Sixers in the playoffs.
However, I think they're going to lose in the second round of the playoffs to LeBron. All right, Washington Wizards.
I wholeheartedly agree.
What's the Wizards over under?
45.5
Over.
Slight over.
I'm going to go with an
very
under.
Very slight.
I think they're a 500 team, maybe 42 wins.
Me and Seth have, we have not made bets on the Washington Wizards, but we have basically put all of our pride on the line on the Wizards season this year because we just so wholeheartedly disagree.
This is the most we've ever disagreed about anything.
Are you not
related.
On the John Wall train?
I'm not.
Okay. Are you on the John Wall train?
I think he is.
He thinks he's a top 5 point guard.
Top 6 point guard when he's healthy.
But okay. You think he's a top 5 point guard when he's healthy?
He doesn't win when
you
it
said
counts.
It the other night.
Yes. He just doesn't win when it counts. When he goes head to head, he usually plays pretty well. You put him up. I mean, he went up against Brody, played pretty well.
He has good
Steph
games.
Played pretty well. He does.
He will play good games, and he will hit a clutch shot here
every
and there.
Now and then, maybe.
Yeah. The issue that I have with him is that he's a garbage teammate, garbage person, and he's just kind of like if you're putting Wall and Howard on the same team, I can't imagine that anyone is going to like each other by the halfway point of the season.
I think Dwight Howard should have retired last year.
I think the talent outweighs that.
I can't imagine the talent outweighing how much they're going to hate each other.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Dallas Mavericks, 35.5
It's the West is just very, very tough. I think the Mavs are a much improved team, but give Doncic and Smith one more year. Mm-hmm. I'll go under.
Under.
Go slightly under. You got to give them a little bit of time.
I think they'll win 36, so I'm going with the over.
Wow.
Because I think bold. Doncic and, you know, DeAndre Jordan, like, that's a lob city waiting to happen, and those guys are just fun to watch. Dennis Smith is a year better.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to watch. Denver Nuggets 46.5 They won 46 last year.
Yeah, because they won 46 last year, like I can't say they're going to not be better because it's a year improvement for Jokic and Murray, and then they added Michael Porter Jr. in the draft. I think they'll be a little bit better.
And Isaiah Thomas, thank you very much.
Yeah, right. And
slide
Isaiah
under.
Thomas.
I'm not buying it. Never been sold on the Nuggets. I'm not sold on Michael Porter Jr. yet.
Neither am I. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm going to give him the slide over. I think maybe 47, 48,
yeah,
maybe.
I agree.
I think they're going to be as good as a lot of people think the Lakers are going to be. Golden State, 64.5
64.5
Yeah, 64.5
They don't care enough about the regular season to hit that benchmark. No.
Under.
Under. Because they realize they shouldn't care about the regular season like they did in the 73-win season. And so now they're very intentional about not.
Slight under. Maybe 62. 60. I mean, because...
I mean, that's fair. I think they're going to win somewhere between 58 and 62. I'm going with the under.
They got to figure out how to use Boogie. Is Boogie okay with just grabbing boards and being that, you know, you get a guy from, like, Africa, put him in there, he's going to be fine.
Moses
so, I mean,
Malone type.
Right. Like, what role is he going to be okay with?
He's not going to be coming back for a while, so I think that's going to be, like, a minimal thing at first.
True.
Like, when he gets back. Right. The worry there is the playoffs. Rockets, 56.5 They won 65 last year.
I'll go... over. I think they're a little bit worse because I think Melo is not as good as Ariza, but I don't think he's like 10 games not as good as Ariza.
Okay.
Slight under. They lost some defensive prowess, which hurts them. And I just don't see Melo, unless he really takes control of a bench opportunity, I just don't see him performing really well in that setting. I love James Harden to death. I think he's a great player, but I just don't think he's consistently carrying his team enough. Chris Paul has to step up. I think he's selfish as it is. So.
All right, I'm going under two. All right, we're going to hit this rapid fire, okay?
Okay.
L.A. Clippers, 38.5.
Under?
Under.
Under. L.A. Lakers, 49.5.
Over?
Over. They have LeBron.
I'm going under. Memphis, 32.5.
Over.
Under.
I'm going slight over. Mini, 44.5.
Under.
Under.
Under. Pels, 43.5.
Over.
Slight over.
I'm going with the slight under. OKC, 48.5.
Under.
Slight under. I wish it wasn't that way, but I think that's what's
going
to happen.
I agree. I'm going with the slight under. Phoenix Suns, 27.5.
Under. Not enough time with Ayton.
Slight over. I have hope.
I'm going under. It's the Suns.
It's the Suns.
Wait,
I have hope.
They added Jamal Crawford yesterday. I forgot about that. Slight over.
I'm
slight over. Slight Jamal Crawford.
Portland Trail Blazers, 42.5.
Over.
I'm going to go slight under.
Oof, really? I'm going with the over. Sack. It's 26.5.
Oh, under?
Sell it on me.
There's no way. I think Sacramento is the worst team in the league.
Frank Mason is on the Sacramento Kings. Rock Chalk, Jayhawk, under.
I'm going with the under as well. I don't think they're going to be the worst team. Atlanta's going to be the worst team. And then
I disagree.
The Kings are going to be the second
just
worst.
Slightly.
Spurs, 45.5.
Over.
Ginobili shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Over.
I hate you so much.
Under, and it pains me greatly to say that.
I know. When I saw your fantasy team name, I almost just killed myself right there.
I want you to know, over the whole year, I'm going to be building up the most outrageous and well-crafted arguments for why Ginobili should not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And by the end, everyone will be on their knees, bowing down to my just overall knowledge of the game of basketball.
Woody, you are officially uninvited to every podcast ever. In fact, if you would like to be dismissed from this episode right now...
No. All right. Utah Jazz, 48.5.
A slight under.
Slide over.
Slide over. All right. That is Pick'ems with us. All right. And now it's time for the moment you've all been waiting for. You boyos ready? Top 5 point guards all time.
All right. We're going 1 to 5 here just because I think the suspense will be bigger moving down. Just with the nature of the point guard position, I think we probably all have the same number one. I'll go ahead and go first. Magic Johnson.
Yep.
Yeah. Magic Johnson is the de facto number one point guard ever.
Big dude, ran the fast break incredibly well. Changed
incredibly
the point guard game.
Well. He
greatest passer of all
the
time.
Fast
changed,
break.
Changed the fast break.
Him and Larry
guy was
Bird
crazy.
Both. Yeah.
All right. Number two. We're probably going to fight on this one.
Yeah.
I think I might punch someone in the face.
Yeah, this is where it really gets interesting. Once you get past Magic, there's like 11 guys who you could have at number two.
Chap, we might agree on this one.
I think we
discussed
this
earlier.
I think we discussed
this,
yeah. I think we do. You want to go first, Woody?
I'll go first. I'm going to throw up Steph Curry, and here's why. Steph Curry not only changed the way basketball is being played now, Steph Curry changed the way the point guard position is being played. You had Magic Johnson distributing and running the floor. He was running an offense. Steph Curry is demanding that you don't give him space. Okay, so he's basically closed the floor. He's basically created space for other players. Steph Curry doesn't just make himself better by being the greatest shooter to ever play the game. And the fact that he's also a point guard, I don't know how you don't put him up there. But
he draws the defense.
Right, he draws the defense. He makes the players around him better. You want to play with Steph Curry because if you're having if Klay Thompson's having a crazy night, right, he's dropping like 40, 50 points, the fact that your go-to pass from Klay Thompson is to your point guard and Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, on some level, that elevates everyone on the team a lot more, and the space on the floor that he creates is just absolutely ridiculous. Greatest shooter to ever play the game. He's my easily number two.
I agree with you, Woody, for all of those reasons and the fact that at only, 30 years old now, he has three rings. I think you can easily project at least a fourth, and we'll see if Kevin Durant stays. Yep. But
okay, I disagree. those are great arguments. I'm going to argue John Stockton at the number two.
I respect that. I respect that. I'm a Stockton fan.
I, like, Stockton was great for probably, yeah, no, he was great for longer than any other point guard that's on this list. But I don't think he ever was good enough. Like, I think he only made one first-team All-NBA in his whole career, if I'm remembering that correctly. I don't know. He never won a ring, and I don't think he was ever the de facto number one guy in the league. Plus, I think a lot of his assists can be contributed to the fact that Karl Malone was just maybe the best pick-and-roll receiver ever.
Okay, well, he made 11 All-NBA teams.
I said first team.
I know. I can't say, I don't have the stats for whether it's first or second, but he had 11 all NBA selections.
He was always second and third team.
9-time assist champion, 2-time steals champion, 5-time all defensive team, and he was the MVP.
True point guard.
He was an all-star MVP in 92 and 93. 10-time all-star.
Old
He's a
school
Hall of
point
Famer.
Guard, man.
The guy had 10.5 assists with a 21.8 PER, an effective field goal percentage of 54.6%. The guy was insane with a 207.7 win share.
Yeah, and absolutely. And he, like I said, most consistent point guard ever. But.
And that, I think that's the key word I think you hit, is consistency. John Stockton's easily my number, is right up there at my number three, just because of his ability to be consistent in passing the ball. Okay, you can rely on a player to shoot the ball, okay, like Steph Curry or somebody. And because Steph Curry is so consistent shooting the ball, being the greatest shooter of all time, I have to put him over because the game is about putting the ball in the basket, obviously. But an assist does the same thing, essentially.
Yeah.
And he's elevating his team as well, given that Karl Malone is, I mean, like you said, incredible.
But you also don't get 10.5 assists a game on just running the pick and roll.
He averaged 14.5 in 1996.
I apologize. He was a 2-time first All-NBA player, so I did short credit him there. But.
Yeah. But... yeah, and I get it. Like, Steph Curry's here at my number three, so. Yeah.
So, y'all two have the same top three players.
He averaged
one guard position.
One more time, Stockton, he averaged over 10 assists a game pretty consistently in the playoffs as well. So, you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely.
John Stockton is the prototypical point guard. He is what every other point guard that came after him aspired to be for a long time.
Not the flashiest passer ever, but probably the best passer ever.
Yeah. All right. What's your number three, Chap? We already got Woody in mind.
Yeah. I have Isaiah Thomas coming in at number three.
Ooh. Which one?
I have Zeke coming in at number three. The Detroit Pistons 80s and 90s. Here's my argument for Zeke. This is the only person who beat Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, and Magic Johnson in the playoffs. And he won 2 titles while all 3 of those guys were in their prime. As the de facto number one option on offense and a very, very good defensive player as well.
I don't think I disagree with any of that. I mean, I think that's really well put. I mean, Zeke, he was... for his size and for his stature, you have so many people that look back on him and want to play the point guard, play that position the way he did. Because anytime you can go against greats and win, that was the reason I was going to give for putting him anywhere on any list, is going against greats and winning makes you up there with the greats. Especially when you're in a position like the point. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're a facilitator. You're a scorer. I mean, he would drive hard and then just pull up against some of the greatest players to ever play the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what made him really good.
I think he's great. He's amazing. But also, he shot 29% from the three. He only shot 75% from the free throw line. 18.1 PER. 80.7 win shares. He's good. He's great. Yeah, I think he's probably my number 7 point guard. But I just can't put him up there with these other guys that I have.
To me, he was the most winnable guy on this list, maybe. And he proved it by winning a couple of championships during the strongest era in basketball ever.
Got 2 rings.
Yeah.
He was only the finals MVP once, though.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that I think it's like he's de facto the number three guy. That's where I have him. But I definitely respect both of y'all's opinions.
That's fair.
He played mean. That's what I like. You have players that play like Zeke.
I do love Zeke, and I don't want it to sound like I'm slandering him.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I got to respect it. So if my dad listens to this podcast, which I know he will hear this. And I talked to him about this the other day because, you know, he's full-on 90s, loves that kind of that style of basketball. And he, I remember him talking about any player you have that's like, give me the ball and I'm going to shove this down your throat, he immediately likes. He likes Russell Westbrook, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird. I mean, you talk about, you know, retro IT was a monster in that aspect.
Yeah,
and you're talking about a bulldog before there were bulldogs sometimes from the point position. You know what I'm saying? Like Magic didn't necessarily bully people all the time.
No, not at all. Yeah. That's why they were the Showtime Lakers.
Right. And Zeke did that, but he also had the passing ability.
Mm-hmm.
He averaged, I think, 9.1 assists over the course of his whole career.
9.3, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was amazing. All right, Chap, give me your number four.
My number four is going to be the Big O.
Okay.
I mean, statistically, I think you can probably make an argument that he's the best ever. Obviously, he played in the 60s and 70s, so that, I guess, waters the stats down a little bit. But I think, and the biggest reason I think I put him this high is he did all that, and he was probably the most talented player in the NBA outside of Wilt Chamberlain while he was playing. And then he transformed himself for that 70-71 season when they won the NBA championship. He went from averaging 25.3 points a game in Cincinnati to 19.4 points a game. But he deferred to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and took that step back like we were talking about that Melo should take, basically.
Yeah.
And they won a title because of it and had one of the better seasons ever because Oscar Robertson was able to do that. So I really, really commend him for that specific thing.
Okay. I also have Oscar Robertson in my number four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awkward.
Who you got?
I have Big O as my four as well.
Oh, wow.
So it's a fact then.
Here's the thing.
Oscar Robertson is the fourth greatest point guard to ever play the point guard position.
Here's the thing, though. I would almost move him above Stockton sometimes simply because of the way basketball was played at that time. To have the triple-double season, to play the way he did.
And to almost average a triple-double four, five other times.
Yeah. Right.
I think his rebounding is a little bit overrated because there were almost double the rebounds available
back then.
We're talking
about the
60s,
man.
But he was also only 6'5".
And he only averaged a triple-double in 1 year, but he alternated between assists and rebounds so much that for a five-year period, if you add up all those stats, he averaged a triple-double, which is interesting.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
He's a forerunner of Magic and LeBron, too.
Yeah, he really was.
Yeah.
He's
definitely.
He's a do-everything point guard, and he was amazing at what he did.
Yeah, my three and four are definitely interchangeable between Stockton and the Big O.
Yeah.
All right, number five, ladies and gentlemen, what do we got?
I've got Stockton at five.
You got Stockton at five?
Ooh, Stockton all the way down at five? That hurts my feelings.
A little bit.
Zeke, I got Zeke at five.
You got Zeke at five. I got Chris Paul. None of us agree with each other.
I hate you so much for this, and I want you to know that I think that hurts my feelings that you've said that, and I still like you and we're friends, but I think he's an incredible point guard, but I think he's horribly overrated.
Yeah, I struggle to see Chris Paul above a guy like Zeke, especially. He doesn't have the title, and he did for a good while in LA. He did have the talent. Like, that team could have won a championship, and they didn't. And so, and I think the point guard and the center are the two most integral pieces to winning a championship over the course of basketball
history.
You
do know why they didn't win, right? Because Blake Griffin got hurt all of the time. I don't think they played a full season together.
I mean, he didn't play 82 games every year, but he was healthy in the playoffs at least two or three times that they were together.
Chris Paul fluctuates.
And he never even made a Western Conference Finals with them.
Which I'll give you, but he was also a 6-time steal champion, 9-time all defensive.
Oh,
team,
I'm not trying to take anything away
4-time
from him.
4-time assist champion.
I just think the 8-time
all NBA
Zeke.
Chris Paul fluctuates between a scorer and a passer. He fluctuates between the two, okay? So he'll have a season where he averages, you know, a healthy amount of points. So 18, 15, 2014, 2015, 2013, he averaged 18. So he fluctuates between a passer and a scorer. And honestly, what I like about a point guard is picking one. Steph Curry, an incredible scorer. Great assist player as well, but a primary scorer. Chris Paul, the fact that he's fluctuating between both, I think he'll have less longevity that
way. Here's the thing. His two best years for assists were also his two best years for scoring.
Right. This is the gap in my theory.
So 2007 and 8, 2008 and 9, he averaged 21.1 points, 11.5 assists, and then 22.8 points and 11 assists.
And that was his last couple years with in New Orleans, right?
Two, I think so. Let me check.
And he was just taking on a
that
very
was,
big role. Thing.
He after that, he played two more years in New Orleans and okay. then went to the Clippers. And then after that, like he still had times where he scored, I think his in 2013, 14, and 15, and 14, 15, he scored 19.1 points per game in both years and then 10.7 and 10.2.
Yeah.
I think what I mean by this is that Chris Paul, I just don't see him producing in the right setting. Okay. So, like, you have a player as talented as Chris Paul, who's putting up these numbers. Mm-hmm. And I would argue his great – he's also not a bad defender. I mean, I would argue his size really, 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 really limits him. Yeah. However, I mean, you look at his steal numbers over the course of the years. They're good. They're really good.
Yeah.
But Chris Paul has not taken teams as far as he should. And perhaps that's not because he's not surrounded by players that necessarily can help him or help his role.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think Chris Paul is sometimes too good for the players that – for yeah. the players that he's with.
In New Orleans, I think that was extremely the case.
Yeah.
He was a star player on a team with no stars, a lot like Anthony Davis is now.
Yeah.
And then he went to L.A. with Blake Griffin, and they were good. They were really good, but if one of them was healthy, the other one was not yeah. most of the time.
And
now he's with the Rockets, and in the 1 year that he was with the Rockets, almost took them past the Warriors, yeah. but then went down.
Yeah. And if you're in a, I get that. You're in a position like point guard, you have to facilitate an environment of winning within your team. That's why Steph Curry is my number two, is because he bring like the players around him win. They play better. They're elevated. I haven't seen Chris Paul elevate the players around him yet.
I think I point to their series against the Warriors this last postseason. Look at the demonstrative difference between when he was on the court and then when he got hurt and they missed 27 threes in a row.
But I think that's because James Harden is sometimes just is pathetically inefficient when he's by himself.
Yeah,
now,
that's super
good. Given that his step back three or whatever is like, what, 51%? It's just ridiculous. But James Harden by himself, with Chris Paul, he was great. Chris Paul, that gave him extra
looks
to create
space. James Harden can't
be
an alpha dog.
He can't be an alpha dog. I think Chris Paul struggles, and this is just from watching. I'm not looking at stats right now. I'm just kind of like looking at it from watching him play over the years.
The eye test, yeah.
I cannot – Chris Paul fluctuates between, okay, I'm going to have to drop 25-30 this game in order to get us to win, or I'm going to have to drop 14 assists and win by two or lose by five. So there seems to be this – he cannot seem to win heavily in one direction. He has to either do both. Yeah. Like his best seasons, high assist total, high scoring total, still the same win rate. So on some level, something has to give. And that may not be necessarily his fault, but that's why I can't put him in my top five. But he's up there for me.
Yeah, definitely. I have Chris Paul, I think, at 7 behind my top five and Jason Kidd. But
so we have our 5 and 7 pretty much.
Sorry.
Swapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fine.
He's in my 10, but...
Yeah, I definitely... Yeah. All these guys, once you get past number one, there's a lot of fluidity there. And then you get past, you know, number three, and it's just kind of like really your personal play style.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, all right.
I think that's we agreed more than I thought we would, though.
Yeah, we definitely agreed more than I thought we would. And if nothing else, like, we just had guys swapped. Like, for Woody and I, we had Curry and Stockton swapped.
The goal is to put the ball in the hoop, and if you can do that by yourself better than anyone else, I just don't see how you're not up there. However,
fair enough.
I do have a quick question for you guys. I was thinking about this as we're talking about great point guards. I was thinking about great bigs, okay? And I'm wondering, this circled around a little bit in articles on ESPN and all these like homers talking about this. Do you think Dwight Howard is a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me? I think absolutely not.
Look at the numbers.
I hate who we put in the Hall of Fame.
Look at the numbers lined up against other bigs who are in the Hall of Fame. Like, I think the man's going to be...
Over his career?
The best rebounder since the 60s.
Oof.
Yeah, over his career. He averaged 16 and 12 and a half.
17 and a half points, 12.7 rebounds on 58% shooting.
Yeah.
9% from the three.
obviously the three-point numbers aren't going to be there. 56
from the line. I don't think he's as... Is he as good of a rebounder as DeAndre Jordan?
Maybe not per game, but he's had the longevity. It took DeAndre Jordan a couple of years to get to the point.
He's a better rebounder than DeAndre Jordan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By two rebounds. Exactly. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess I would... it's just hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I think you have to score points.
Early in his career lead a team to the finals.
Can rebounds put you in the Hall of Fame? Yeah. Strictly rebounds?
I mean, rebounds and
defense.
Rebounds, defense, and efficiency when scoring. And like
over long term, though, I think you have to do it for a while. 17
points a game is nothing to scoff at. It's more than Manu Ginobili. It's more than guys that we're going to put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but if he just does that for 5 years in Orlando.
He didn't just do that for 5 years in Orlando. He's been doing that. His numbers have been pretty consistent. Like, he was a little better statistically in Orlando, but not by as much as people think he was.
I don't see... Looking at it, I get what you're saying, but I just don't see anything that says Hall of Fame for me. I mean, defensively, yes. Those years on the Magic, he was really talented. But as soon as he jumped on the Lakers for a year in 2012, then transitioned to the Rockets, I would say since 2012, I haven't seen anything incredible from Dwight Howard. Because I think you can be a great player for a short period of time, but to me that doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. A Hall of Famer means from day one to day end, you were a threat. You were a threat. And even when you were old, you were somewhat threatening in some capacity.
Do you think that you would have had him in the Hall of Fame if he would have just retired after his time in the Magic?
Possibly. I definitely would have considered it because of how dominant he was with the Orlando Magic, because of the defensive MVP awards. I think defense is an art that we lack now, but
I just disagree with, unless it's a serious, like he killed a guy or something, I disagree with taking away from someone after the fact. I think if you've accomplished Hall of Fame things, you can only add to it at that point.
Fair enough.
So
I
don't think he's first ballot or anything.
Yeah,
but I think he should be in there.
I don't think Ginobili's first ballot either, so. What, are we just putting 6 men in the Hall of Fame now? Okay, sorry, I'll stop talking.
All right, guys. Let's do no picking favorites real quick and wrap this up. Chap, who you got?
Who did I have, Seth? Well, you can edit this in a minute, but...
Well, I have no idea who you had. It was someone no one cared about, over someone no one cared about.
My gosh. I do not even a little bit remember. It wasn't Tulsa, it was Arkansas. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah. Wake Forest over Florida State.
Okay. Say that.
Alright. Seth, I've got Wake Forest over Florida State this week. I think Florida State just sucks. That's 5.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
I picked mine, and it's huge, and you will all laugh at me, but it's going to happen, okay? Mark my words. I'm picking the old Horn Frogs over Oklahoma. Now, get me wrong here. I watched Oklahoma a few weeks ago, and I think they're talented, but I do think they're going to drop the ball at some point pretty heavily. I think it's going to be this week, okay? I think TCU has a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism, and I think Oklahoma's going to go and think they're going to rout them. Okay, it's happened before. It happened a couple of years ago. TCU is one of those teams that always has a few really, really good players, and they're not always super consistent when it counts. And I'm stretching it here by like a lot, but I just want Boomer Sooner to go down really, really bad.
It could happen.
A little bit's personal. It could.
All right. I'm going Virginia over Duke. It's a 7.5 point spread, and both teams aren't great, but they're both better than what they usually are.
Smart.
And yeah. Why not?
It's not a bad pick.
It's not a bad pick. Is
that at Duke or is that at Virginia?
I think it's at Duke.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
Their fans are the worst.
Yeah. All right, guys. That's our show. Thanks for listening. It was a long one. Tune in next week to Layup Lines. Thank you.